Welcome to Feisty Female Folk Tales, two feminist-themed international fairy tales, one from Norway, Tatterhood, and one from Japan, Unanana and the Elephant. Stay tuned to KPFA on this day of special programming for International Women's Day.
Tatterhood, a Norwegian folktale written in 1859. Once upon a time, there was a king and a queen who had no children, and this grieved the queen very much.
It's so lonesome here in the palace with no little ones running around.
Well, if it's the young ones you want, my dear, why don't you invite the children of our kinswomen to stay with us?
Oh, my darling, you are so smart.
Soon, she had two little nieces romping through the rooms and playing in the palace courtyard. One day, as the queen watched fondly from the window, she saw her two lassies playing ball with a stranger, a little girl clad in tattered clothes. The queen hurried down the stairs.
Little girl, this is the palace courtyard. You cannot play in here.
We asked her to play with us.
They ran over to the ragged little girl and took her by the hand.
You would not chase me away if you knew the powers my mother has.
The child pointed to a woman selling eggs in the marketplace outside the palace gates.
If she wants to, my mother can tell people how to have children when all else has failed. Well, tell your mother I wish to speak to her in the palace immediately.
The little girl ran out to the marketplace, and it was not long before a tall, strong market woman strode into the queen's sitting room.
Your daughter says you have powers, that you could tell me how I may have children of my own.
The queen should not listen to a child's chatter.
Sit down. I want to have children more than anything in the world.
Well, I may know a spell that could help you. It certainly wouldn't harm you.
Yes?
Have two pails of water brought to you before you go to bed. In each of them, you must wash yourself. And afterward, pour away the water under the bed. You look under the bed the next morning, two flowers will have sprung up, one fair and one rare. The fair one you must eat, but the rare one you must let stand. Mind you, don't forget that.
The queen followed this advice, and the next morning, under the bed stood two flowers. One was green and oddly shaped. The other was pink and fragrant. The pink flower, she ate at once. It tasted so sweet that she promptly ate the other one as well.
I don't think it can help or hurt either way.
Not long afterward, the queen realized she was with child, and sometime later, she had the birthing. First was born a girl who had a wooden spoon in her hand and rode upon a goat. A queer-looking creature she was, and the moment she came into the world, she bawled.
Mama! If I'm your mama, God give me grace to mend my ways.
Sorry. The next one will be born much fairer.
Tatterhood rode around the room on her goat. And so it was. The second twin was born fair and sweet, which pleased the queen very much. The twin sisters were as different as they could be, but they grew up to be very fond of each other. Where one was, the other must be. But the elder twin soon had the nickname Tatterhood, for she was strong, raucous, and careless, and was always racing about on her goat. Her clothes were always torn and mud-splattered, her hood in tatters. No one could keep her in clean, pretty dresses. She insisted on wearing old clothes, and the queen finally gave up and let her dress as she pleased. One Christmas Eve, when the twin sisters were almost grown, there arose a terrific noise and clatter in the gallery outside the queen's room.
What was that?
I'm afraid it's the trolls.
Who?
The trolls. They invade the palace every 7 years. There's nothing to be done but endure their mischief.
Nonsense. I will go out and drive them away.
No. You must leave them alone. It's too dangerous.
I am not afraid. Listen to me, mother. You must keep all the doors shut tight.
Tatterhood went out into the gallery to chase them. She laid about with the wooden spoon, whacking trolls on the head or shoulders, rounding them up to drive them out. The whole palace shook with crashes and shrieking. Just then, her twin sister, who was worried about Tatterhood, opened a door and stuck out her head to see how things were going.
Tatterhood!
Up came a troll, whipped off her head, and stuck a calf's head on her shoulders instead. The poor princess ran back into the room on all fours and began to moo like a calf. When Tatterhood came back and saw her sister, she was very angry that the queen's attendants had not kept better watch.
Where were your eyes, you silly fools? You're more cow than she is. Just look at her now. I'll see if I can get her free from the troll's spell. Father, I need a good ship in full trim and well-fitted with stores.
Now I realize, my daughter, you are quite extraordinary. But I insist you have a captain and crew.
No, father, I will sail alone.
At last, they let her have her way, and Tatterhood sailed off with her half-sister, half-cow. With a good wind behind them, she sailed right to the land of the trolls. And tied up at the landing place.
Now you stay here and just be quiet. I'll be back shortly.
Then Tatterhood got on her goat and rode right up to the troll's house. Through an open window, she could see her sister's head on the wall. In a moment, she leapt the goat through the window and into the house, snatched the head, and leapt back outside again. She set off with it, and after her came the trolls.
Ah! I'm gonna get you right now. We're gonna cut you now. We're gonna soap out of you.
They swarmed about her like angry bees, but the goat snorted and butted with his horns, and Tatterhood smacked them with her magic wooden spoon until they gave up and let her escape. When Tatterhood got safely back to their ship, she took off the calf's head and put her sister's own bonny head back on again. Now her sister was once more human.
Let's sail on and see something of the world.
Yes, let's. And Tatterhood, thank you so much.
They sailed along the coast, stopping at this place and that, until at last they reached a distant kingdom. Tatterhood tied up the ship at the landing place. When the people of the castle saw the strange sail, they sent down a messenger to find out who sailed the ship and from whence it came. The messenger was startled to find no one on board but Tatterhood, and she was riding around the deck on her goat.
Ahoy! Is there anyone else aboard?
Yeah, my sister is with me.
May we see her?
No.
Well then, would you be willing to come down to the castle?
Let them come down to the ship if they wish to see us.
Tatterhood then began to gallop about on her goat until the deck thundered. When the elder prince heard the messenger's tale of the odd stranger in his domain, he hastened down to the shore the very next day. When he saw the fair younger twin, he promptly fell in love with her and wanted to marry her.
Will you marry me?
No, indeed. I will not leave my sister, Tatterhood. I will not marry until she marries.
The prince went glumly back to the castle, for in his opinion, no one would want to marry the odd creature who rode a goat and looked like a ragged beggar. But hospitality must be given to strangers.
The lady is quite beautiful, and I would have her for my wife. But it is not fated to be, for no one would want to marry her sister.
Why not?
She is an odd creature that rides a goat.
I see.
I won't give up. Would you please escort the Tatterhood girl to the castle?
No, not after that description.
Please, I will reward you handsomely.
If you insist.
Upon receiving the invitation, the younger twin brushed her hair and put on her finest kirtle for the event, but Tatterhood refused to change.
You could wear one of my dresses. Take off that tattered hood and the soot streaks from your face. I want you to look your best.
I will go as I am, but thank you for the kind offer.
All the people of the town turned out to see the strangers riding up to the castle, and a fine procession it was. At the head rode the prince and Tatterhood's sister on fine white horses draped with cloth of gold. Next came the prince's brother on a splendid horse with silver trappings. Beside him rode Tatterhood on her goat.
You're not much for conversation. Haven't you anything to say?
What is there to talk about?
They rode on in silence until finally he burst out.
Why do you ride that goat instead of a horse?
Since you happen to ask, I can ride on a horse if I choose.
At once, the goat turned into a fine steed. The young man's eyes popped open wide, and he turned to look at her with great interest.
Why do you hide your head beneath that ragged hood?
Is it a ragged hood? I can change it if I choose.
And there, on long, dark hair, was a circlet of gold and tiny pearls.
What an unusual girl you are. But that wooden spoon, why do you choose to carry that?
Is it a spoon?
And in her hand, the spoon turned into a gold-tipped wand.
I see.
Aren't you going to ask me why I wear these ragged clothes?
No. It's clear you wear them because you choose to. And when you want to change them, you will.
At that, Tatterhood's ragged cloak disappeared, and she was clad in a velvet green mantle and kirtle. The prince smiled.
The color becomes you very well.
And will you not ask to see my face beneath that suit?
That too shall be as you choose.
As they rode through the castle gates, Tatterhood touched the rowan wood to her face, and the soot streaks disappeared. And whether her face now was lovely or plain, we shall never know, because it didn't matter in the least to the prince's brother or to Tatterhood. But this I can tell you, the feast at the castle was a merry one, with the games and the singing and the dancing lasting for many, many days. Now let's enjoy the story of Unanana and the Elephant. Many, many years ago, there was a woman named Unanana who had two beautiful children. They lived in a hut near the roadside, and people passing by would often stop when they saw the children.
Ooh, look at you with your beautiful brown skin and bright eyes.
Early one morning, Unanana went into the bush to collect firewood, and left her two children playing with a little cousin who was living with them. The children shouted happily, seeing who could jump furthest, and when they were tired, they sat on the dusty ground outside the hut playing a game with pebbles. Suddenly, they heard a rustle in the nearby grasses, and seated on a rock, they saw a puzzled-looking baboon.
Whose children are those?
They belong to Unanana.
Well, well, well.
Never have I seen such beautiful children before.
Then he disappeared, and the children went on with their game. A little later, they heard the faint crack of a twig, and looking up, they saw the big brown eyes of a gazelle staring at them from beside a bush.
Whose children are those?
They belong to Unanana.
Well, well, well. Never have I seen such beautiful children before.
With a graceful bound, she disappeared into the bush. The children grew tired of their game, and taking a small gourd, they dipped it in turn into the big pot full of water, which stood at the door of their hut, and drank their fill. A sharp bark made the cousin drop her gourd in fear when she looked up and saw the spotted body and treacherous eyes of a leopard who had crept silently out of the bush.
Whose children are those?
They belong to Unanana.
Little cousin slowly backed towards the door of the hut in case the leopard should spring at her. But he was not interested in a meal just then.
Never have I seen such beautiful children before.
And with a flick of his tail, he melted away into the bush. The children were afraid of all these animals who kept asking questions and called loudly to Unanana to return. But instead of their mother, a huge elephant with only one tusk lumbered out of the bush and stood staring at the three children who were too frightened to move.
Whose children are those?
The elephant bellowed at the little cousin, waving his trunk in the direction of the two beautiful children who were trying to hide behind a large stone.
They belong to Unanana.
The elephant took a step forward.
Never have I seen such beautiful children before. I will take them away with me.
He opened his mouth and swallowed both children at one gulp. The little cousin screamed in terror and dashed into the hut. And from the gloom and safety inside, she heard the elephant's heavy footsteps growing fainter and fainter as he went back into the bush. The little cousin curled up in a ball and cried until she fell into an exhausted sleep. It was not until much later that Unanana returned, carrying a large bundle of wood on her head. The little girl rushed out of the house in a dreadful state, and it was some time before Unanana could get the whole story from her.
And we were playing with, and the baboon said, "What beautiful children," and then the gazelle, and the elephant, and...
Calm down, child. Calm down. Now, did he swallow them whole? Do you think they might still be alive inside the elephant's stomach?
I cannot tell.
Well, there's only one thing to do. I must go into the bush and ask all the animals whether they have seen an elephant with only one tusk. But first, I must make preparations.
She took a pot and cooked a lot of beans in it until they were soft and ready to eat. Then, seizing her large knife and putting the pot of food on her head, she told her little niece to look after the hut until she returned and set off into the bush to search for the elephant. Unanana soon found the tracks of the huge beast and followed them for some distance. But the elephant himself was nowhere to be seen. As she passed through some tall, shady trees, she met the baboon.
Oh, baboon, do help me. Have you seen an elephant with only one tusk? He has eaten both my children. I must find him.
Ooh. Go straight along this track until you come to a place where there are high trees and white stones. There you will find the elephant.
So the woman went on along the dusty track for a very long time, but she saw no sign of the elephant. Suddenly, she noticed a gazelle leaping across her path.
Oh, gazelle, do help me. Have you seen an elephant with only one tusk?
He has eaten both my children, and I must find him.
Go straight along this track until you come to a place where there are high trees and white stones. There you will find the elephant.
Oh, dear. It seems a very long way, and I am so tired and hungry.
But she did not eat the food she carried, since that was for her children when she found them. On and on she went, until rounding a bend in the track, she saw a leopard sitting outside his cave home, washing himself with his tongue.
Oh, leopard, do help me. Have you seen an elephant with only one tusk? He has eaten both my children, and I must find him.
Go straight along this track until you come to a place where there are high trees and white stones. There you'll find the elephant.
The leopard continued grooming himself.
Alas, if I do not find this place soon, my legs will carry me no further.
She staggered on a little further, until suddenly, ahead of her, she saw some high trees with large white stones spread about on the ground below them.
At last!
She hurried forward and found a huge elephant lying contently in the shade of the trees. One glance was enough to show her that he had only one tusk. So going up as close as she dared, she shouted,
"Elephant! Elephant! Are you the one who has eaten my children?"
"Oh, no! Go straight along this track until you find a place where there are huge trees and white stones. There you will find the elephant."
"Elephant! Elephant! Are you the one that has eaten my children?"
"Oh, no! Go straight along this track."
She rushed up to him, waving her knife and yelling,
"Where are my children? Where are they?"
Then the elephant opened his mouth, and without even troubling to stand up, he swallowed Unanana with the cooking pot and knife with one gulp. This was just what Unanana had hoped for. Down, down, down she went in the darkness until she reached the elephant's stomach. What a sight met her eyes. The walls of the elephant's stomach were like a range of hills, and camped among these hills were little groups of people. Many dogs, goats, cows, and her own two beautiful children.
Mother! Oh, how did you get
here? Oh, we're so hungry.
Do not fear. I have come to feed you and take you home.
Unanana took the cooking pot off her head and began to feed her children with the beans, which they ate ravenously. The elephant began to groan. His groans could be heard all over the bush. And he said to those animals who came along to find out the cause of his unhappiness,
"I don't know why it is, but ever since I swallowed that woman called Unanana, I have felt most uncomfortable and unsettled inside."
The pain got worse and worse until with a final grunt, the elephant dropped dead. Then Unanana seized her knife and hacked a doorway between the elephant's ribs, through which soon streamed a line of dogs, goats, cows, men, women, and children, all blinking their eyes. All blinking their eyes in the strong sunlight and shouting for joy at being free once more. The animals barked, bleated, or mooed their thanks, while the human beings gave Unanana all kinds of presents and gratitude to her for setting them free, so that when Unanana and her two children reached home, they were no longer poor. But the little cousin was delighted to see them, for she had thought they were all dead, and that night they had a feast. Can you guess what they ate? Yes, roasted elephant.
Feisty Female Folk Tales was produced by Northern California performance artist and activist Sherry Glazer Love and features original music by Johnny Quest Hubel and David M. Brown. Tatterhood features the voices of Sophia Scott, Tristan O'Greenfield, Ken Krause, Jonah Weedall, Sheba Love, and Freya Scott. Oon Na 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 and the Elephant features the voices of Sheba Love, Joe Seta, Lavender Gray Cinnamon, Robert Permenter, Gabby Permenter, and Bridget Volk. Stay tuned for more special programming for International Women's Day here on KPFA.
De colores, de colores se vistan los campos en la primavera. De colores son los pajaritos que vienen de afuera. De colores es el arco iris que vemos lucir. Y por eso los grandes amores de muchos colores me gustan a mí. Y por eso los grandes amores de muchos colores me gustan a mí. My father could never write a poem, but when he lined up his plow with a pine tree on a distant hill, he made a furrow straight as an arrow across the length of his labor. My father could not write very many words, but when he brought in his crop in the heat of the summer afternoon, he created a poem from the earth. That's an anonymous Mexican poem. And the tune, which is the theme song of the most militant strike of the last quarter century, carries the words that speak only of the colors and the sounds of the earth, which belong to everyone.
De colores se vistan los campos en la primavera. De colores son los pajaritos que vienen de afuera. De colores es el arco iris que vemos lucir. Y por eso los grandes amores de muchos colores me gustan a mí. Y por eso los grandes amores de muchos colores me gustan a mí.